This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operation and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Policy and Governance Committee meets on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if the meeting is being held.
KBOO's annual fall membership drive is just getting started, and now's a great time to become a member of KBOO. Go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 right now. Your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $14,000 thanks to the generous support of a group of anonymous donors. Join the KBOO family today and help us meet our $55,000 fall drive goal. All the cool kids are doing it.
KPFA in San Francisco, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, a reflection on Indigenous Peoples Day with American Indian Movement co-founder Bill Means. Means is also the co-founder of the American Indian Treaty Council and an eyewitness to the FBI siege at Wounded Knee more than 50 years ago. All this and more coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This, I must tell you, can I do this, Mike? Okay, let's start right here. We are honored, we are super honored to be joined again by, as I said in the introduction, the founder or co-founder of the American Indian Movement and the International Indian Treaty Council, and a hero of mine, Mr. Bill Means. Bill, I know that you wanted to be at the ceremonies on Monday, but you were a little under the weather, but you're speaking out, you're standing up, and we are always honored to have you with us. And maybe you can sort of reflect a little bit on the importance of taking back Alcatraz. I know that the American Indian Movement was founded a few years after the occupation of Alcatraz. Talk about the importance of Alcatraz and how that led and opened up the door to the revolution at Wounded Knee.
Well, of course, I think it was, you know, it was kind of a revolutionary spark that relit the candle of injustice and resistance for American Indian people across America, but more importantly, it began the worldwide movement of indigenous people for our culture to maintain our way of life. And it's very, very important, significant time to remember those heroes at Alcatraz.
And talk a little bit about where you think we are today. Sort of set a current marker. There is an indigenous member of the presidential cabinet on the one hand. There's the interior director who represents the indigenous community. And there's also, though, a governor in Texas who's putting razor wire in buoys to cut the skins of oftentimes indigenous people fleeing ultimately wars that we cause.
Well, you know, the wheels of government turn slow, and sometimes they turn so slow that they become ineffective. And so this is one of those times when the Secretary of Interior hasn't spoken out. I don't even know if she was consulted on the issue of mining of this battery, the elements that are used in batteries. For
the lithium stuff, yes.
Lithium that's used in electric cars. So here on one hand, everybody thinks this is a part of the Green Revolution. But on the other hand, where do they get the lithium? Again, they come to indigenous people's land and do mining. Now, all mining affects the water, affects the air. It's detrimental to the environment, sometimes more so. I think they might be leaving a larger carbon footprint than if they didn't have electrical cars. So, you know, you got to weigh that against. And so then they didn't consult with, as far as I know, she hasn't made a statement to Secretary of Interior, who oversees those type of industries, especially on federal lands. And so here we have the president speaking out that he's an environmentalist and, you know, he's doing all these things for the environment on behalf of Native people. And at the same time, they're mining, which is very, very detrimental to Mother Earth, but also many indigenous people that live in the area have their water ruined. So what are they going to have to do next is move somewhere. You know, it's as if they don't exist. And nobody consulted the tribe. Nobody consulted the Secretary of Interior. So that's how one-sided, how detrimental this is, this whole decision-making process where Indian people and even the Secretary of Interior not consulted. At least we haven't seen any public statements regarding that. So it leads us to believe that they didn't care what she said. Or maybe they didn't tell her, because I'm sure she's got something to say about that. But On the other hand, so then indigenous people have to suffer the consequences once again.
We're speaking with Mr. Bill Means. He is a co-founder of the American Indian Movement. We're talking in the context of the celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day that's going to take place, as it has for many years, on Alcatraz on Monday. Our own Miguel Gavilan Molina is always a major part of the broadcast that will come to you from 5 to 8 in the morning on Monday morning. Flashpoints on Monday, we'll have we're going to play a little of our interview with Bill that we're doing now, and we're going to play for you sounds from the island that took place in the morning. If you can't make it, there are many boats leaving, starting, I believe, at 4 a.m. in the morning. It is the most extraordinary and beautiful celebration of the liberation of that island. And Bill, could you just remind us how that island was used to torture Indians? What was Alcatraz before it was liberated?
Well, you know, it was a prison, one of the worst prisons in the United States. It was built for Indian people, those that resisted the colonization of our people on a reservation. The first people to be put there, some of the first, was the Hopi Indian people, who refused to give up their traditional way of life, who refused to become Catholic or Christian, and were consequently sent to prison at Alcatraz, which is one of the worst, toughest prisons in the whole United States. So bad that it's now closed and deemed a very, very center of human rights violations during those times. So it has a history of very much repression and being used to stifle any kind of a resistance from Indian people or other peoples who resisted the colonization, the theft of lands, and the mining interests. Because remember, gold mining was about to start in California. And we all know that even now it's leaching into San Francisco Bay, the gold mining. It still exists because mercury doesn't go away. It stays forever. So that's one of that's the right. elements that continues here today as a result of what happened on Alcatraz. And of course, as I said, Indian people were among the first to be housed there in prison. So it's been a history of repression, continued violations of human rights there at Alcatraz. And Bonnie was closed by even the U.S. Bureau of Prisons because it was very inefficient and inhumane.
Bill, can I ask you, I want to talk a little bit about Leonard Peltier, and I have to admit that I could break a tooth gritting my teeth when I think about Leonard Peltier rotting in jail for decades, and you got this white guy named Trump who has, you name it, he's done it, tried to overthrow the government, killed cops, whatever. He's now, you know, calls judges out, the whole thing. And he just walks around running for president. And Leonard Peltier rots in a prison cell. You want to talk about what's at play there?
Well, you know, I think this whole right-wing conspiracy or right-wing movement that we have, in which we have these Trumpsters who seem to banded together to try and overthrow the government. And, you know, it's not a subtle thing. I mean, he talks about it. Hollers at judges, you know, hollers at people who are, you know, within the courts trying to bring justice for all the wrongdoings that he made throughout the years. And now it's finally catching up to him. And I think, you know, there are several states, including Minnesota, and I think eventually California, have now launched movements to keep him off the ballot because of his convictions and his charges against him for, you know, refusing to pay taxes, for actually cheating the government on various issues of his mansions and his real estate holdings right there in New York City. So all that is finally coming out, where he just ignored the law and actually flaunted his ideas of doing that right in a book. As this one lady said, it's not the art of the deal, it's the art of the steal. That's what the Attorney General of New York called it. So when these type of high state officials begin to question the former president, then you know that these people have worked very hard and are determined to overturn this type of attitude, where they think that our government is there for the taking. And they even criticize generals on CNN and the various news outlets that will print all his outlandish claims of, you know, when he still thinks he won the election. Just the type of people that now are leading the Republican Party. They even fired the Speaker of the House, unprecedented in the history of the United States government. And that's the type of people that he's leading. It's those type of people that disrupt the entire government. Never before have we had that happen. And here now, these Republicans are, as soon as they get in there, they band together to upset the whole United States government. And it's our people particularly the indigenous people. We have all these movements to put up border barriers and razor wire and all these things they're using against the indigenous people that's coming over. We didn't treat the white people like that when they came from Europe. Matter of fact, they had signs all over America that said free land. But the only thing they didn't tell them, it wasn't free, it was our land they were taking. And they even created laws, like they call them homestead laws, where they were legally stealing our land, or the Black Hills Act, which went to court in the United States versus the Sioux Nation. It's a federal court case in which the federal judges decided that, in fact, this is stolen land, that the land was illegally taken by an act of Congress in 1877. We were created as a people. That's where our civilization began, long before the white man came to this area. This is the type of law that's being created and being flouted by the Trump administration, and now again he's back in. It's totally absurd. The absurd has become the norm under this Trump kind of...
Yeah, Bill, absurd has become the norm. That is for sure. Let me again tell people that we're honored to be joined by Mr. William Means. He's the founder, co-founder of the American Indian Movement at the International Indian Treaty Council, and knows as much about broken treaties in this country as anybody in this world. And he has, among other things, made the point in international circles what the situation is for indigenous people in North America, in the United States, and it is a third world situation in a very rich country. And Bill has made the point in the context of international law how important it is for indigenous communities to have their right to speak up. And of course, he was, as I mentioned, a co-founder of the American Indian Movement, and he was a part of the resistance at Wounded Knee. And again, I think about Trump as a total con man, and you've got, again, on phony, trumped up crap for decades, holding the leader of the people, you know, a visionary for a people. It is sick and disgusting. They say Trump isn't a flight risk, Bill. I thought he has an airport, an airline. Sounds like a flight risk to me.
Yeah. And then we have Leonard Peltier, as you had mentioned earlier. He's done about 45 years in prison. And for something that was created by the FBI, the United States government, to try and discredit the American Indian Movement, which is a very popular movement during the 70s, 80s, and even yet today, it still is creating change and creating the challenge to the United States government policy on a very radical basis, because nobody speaks out on behalf of Indian people. And so the American Indian Movement has to be the one that stands in front of the United States government for these policies of mining, these policies of turning national parks into mining interests, turn them over. And so these things are very, very detrimental to the future of America, that these resources will be here forever. And, you know, they say that they're fighting for the independence of the oil industry. But who benefits from the oil industry? The landowners get little or nothing. You know, there's a great movie out now about the theft from the Osage people back in the last century. And that movie depicts a very accurate account of the theft of Indian land and the treatment of Indian people in discounting murder unlike Trump wants to do in order to take office, similar to what they did to the people in Oklahoma during that time, the Osage Nation. So it's kind of history repeating itself with Trump coming in.
Yeah. Bill, I have to interrupt. We're just about out of time. Again, I want to thank you for all the extraordinary time you've given us. I'm one of the most important broadcasts of my life was when you, Bill Means, co-hosted the convention with Palin and McCain, who everybody now has celebrated as the good McCain. But this is the guy, let me mind you, who to the day he died refused to stop calling Vietnamese gooks. That's the kind of stuff that is sort of now celebrated as the good people, but racism reigns supreme. But you, Bill Means, have been on the front lines, and thank you for sharing so much time. We, of course, will be celebrating the work of the American Indian Movement and all the resistance movements at Alcatraz on Monday. Please stay safe, and you're always welcome here at Flashpoints with Mr. Burnstick, the Jew and the Sioux.
We say he's a Jew, but it's spelled J-I-O-U-X.
All right, Bill.
So,
be safe.
We appreciate your efforts. And, the Bay Area, KPFA, has always been a champion of indigenous people, and we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Pilamaya, as we say in our language.
Oh, ho. Be safe, Bill. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're going to take a short break. I should tell you, by the way, Bill gave me my Indian name, Dennis Burnstick, holding up the fire to the truth. And I can tell you it was the highlight of my journalistic career to be recognized at a special ceremony to get my Indian name. And to see the nature of resistance from the point of view of Native America. Listen, again, short break. We'll be back with our own Miguel Gavilan Molina. He's heading to Alcatraz. I'm trying to get there, too. Stay with us.
Go ahead and sue. Screw you right through. So sue us. money, our ego and our shame. It's all about the music, it's not about the fame. You think you're Mr. Big, but you're just Mr. Lame. Throwing your weight around with... Okay, so sue us. Go ahead and sue, you greed and aggression will come back deep. So sue us. Go ahead and sue, you think you got a lawsuit, but you're down your own news. So sue us. Go ahead and sue, school your right through. So sue us. Go ahead and sue, we're not your next again, we just flew the roof. So sue us. Go ahead and sue, you greed and aggression will come back deep. So sue us.
Reporting for Flashpoints, I'm Sarah Blanco. Today we discuss Pehemaha, aka Thacker Pass in the state of Nevada. Thacker Pass just might be the biggest known lithium deposit in the United States. There is a rush for lithium, especially for electric vehicles, and lithium has even been named a critical element for greener energy and for national security. The thing is, like the thing often is, this rush to extract the earth of its resources, like lithium, is occurring on sacred native land of indigenous people. Now, in part, thanks to Lithium America, the Department of Energy, and the Bureau of Land Management, BLM for short, Thacker Pass is being turned into a massive, open-pit, 100-year lithium mine. Thacker Pass land is said to be on unceded territory, meaning that there was no and is no treaty. So, doesn't it belong to the indigenous? Thacker Pass, Nevada is also a historically relevant massacre site where the U.S. military hunted down and murdered indigenous people there in 1865. Ox Sam Camp is a native prayer camp that's been blockading the Thacker Pass lithium mine progress, and the camp is named after Ox Sam, an indigenous survivor of the 1865 massacre. Today we talk to Max Wilbert, community organizer and writer. He's one of the authors of the book Bright Green Lies, How the Environmental Movement Lost Its Way and What We Can Do About It. And Max helped launch the Protect Thacker Pass camp a couple of years ago. Max, welcome. We've had you on before, but people out there now were physically blocking construction of the land. One was arrested. Can you please give us radio listeners a visual of what has been happening out there in the past week?
Thank you, Sarah. It's great to be back on Flashpoints. So the Thacker Pass lithium mine construction has begun. The land is being destroyed right now. There's bulldozers, heavy equipment, excavators, and workers on the site. And starting back in April, people started to contest the construction on the ground, led by Native people from the area, concerned about the destruction of a sacred site, the destruction of wildlife, the harm to water, and so on. There was a nonviolent prayer action on April 25th, which shut down construction for a day. That led to the establishment of Ox Sam Camp on May 11th. Last month. And Ox Sam Camp was in place for nearly 4 weeks. Last Thursday, the camp was raided by police after a water protector ran in front of some heavy equipment. The operator swung the bucket excavator at him, nearly hit him, drove aggressively at him, but was turned back when he held his ground. And other workers told the operator, let's get out of here. So that incident led the sheriff's department to come out to the site, to raid the camps, and shut them down. One person was arrested. The rest of the people, from what I understand, left willingly. I wasn't on site when any of this happened because I had been served with a protection order by the court in Humboldt County, which says that I can't legally go back to Thacker Pass. I can't be near any Lithium Nevada workers or buildings or operation areas right now. And the penalty for that could be pretty severe. We just learned this past week that Lithium Nevada is also filing a lawsuit against myself, two other allies and four native people who have been involved in opposition to the Thacker Pass lithium mine. Two of them notably are Dean Barlice, who's an elder. He's in a wheelchair. He's a very spiritual man, a powerful leader in the community. And people may have seen dramatic pictures of him praying in his wheelchair, blocking equipment at Thacker Pass. Darice Sam has also been served this lawsuit, and she is a direct descendant of Oxam, a survivor of the 1865 massacre at Thacker Pass. So her family, Dean's family as well, their relatives, their bones, their remains are in the ground there, getting bulldozed, getting destroyed right now. So it's really no surprise to me that people took it upon themselves to take action in a moral way, rooted in prayer, rooted in nonviolence, to try and protect this really culturally important site. And, you know, those of us who are targeted in this lawsuit, which is also targeting Protect Thacker Pass, the organization that I helped begin, we are now under even stronger penalty of going back to the site. We would be facing a felony with potentially serious jail times. And the lawsuit is also threatening us with restitution and major fines from the company. So we may be looking at millions of dollars, and we're just in the process of trying to secure legal representation and trying to figure out how to defend ourselves against this multi-billion dollar mining company that's coming after us pretty hard right now.
So there is that viral video of the excavator and the human, and people can watch it and see for themselves. It reminded me of some sort of action movie, right? Man versus machine. Except for when you notice it's people putting their body on the line to protect a sacred site, to protect a massacre site that's historically relevant, and to protect the water, the land, the trees, the animals.
Absolutely. Well, that was a very, very dramatic moment. And like I said, I wasn't on site when that happened. But this sort of thing has been taking place for the last few weeks. At the action on April 25th, people also blocked heavy equipment, and people have been standing up to try and stop this project. There's a long tradition of nonviolent civil disobedience in this country, and I think it's a very honorable tradition to be a part of. You know, with that said, myself and these other people are facing the consequences of that, and we're going to have to walk into court with our heads held high and defend ourselves.
Who are the main players?
Well, there are quite a few. Lithium America is the company behind this mine. Is a Canadian-based company. They are relatively new to the business, but they have another project down in South America that they co-own with Ganfeng Lithium, a Chinese company that's the largest lithium company in the world. That project has been accused of serious human rights and environmental violations. Ganfeng and more broadly, China is number one for lithium in the world. And a lot of it is coming out of areas where you hear these reports of environmental and human rights issues. It's not just lithium. I would be lying if I said lithium was uniquely destructive to mine, to extract, and to process. But the truth is, a lot of these industrial supply chains look very similar, whether we're talking about iron ore or copper, like in the case of Oak Flat, or other minerals like nickel. You follow the train back from these consumer products, and the picture is not pretty. Lithium Nevada has an agreement with General Motors to buy all of the lithium from this project. So the lithium that they plan to produce at Thacker Pass would go to GM for their electric cars, like the Hummer. The Department of Energy is also an important player in all this, because the federal government is providing a massive loan through the Department of Energy to Lithium Nevada to help them develop this mine, something on the order of $1 billion or possibly more of federal tax dollars that is going to this project to support the destruction of this sacred land, this biodiversity hotspot. That's a real problem as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, going forward, it's going to be very challenging for me to look at any General Motors electric vehicle that I see out and about and know that the lithium in that battery may be directly from Thacker Pass. It's directly from this place that I have spent so long trying to defend. And you know, the truth is, the federal government's behind this project, multi-billion dollar corporation, the mining industry as a whole, General Motors, largest car company in North America, and there's serious power arrayed against us. That's the reality, and we've done the best we can in this fight, and we're going to continue, but things aren't looking too good. Like I say, the bulldozers are rolling right now.
Can you give us a visual of the enormity and gravity of the mine across the landscape and what it will do and what it disrupts?
Thacker Pass is this sort of broad saddle between two mountain ranges. So it's pretty wide and gently sloping, and it's part of the Great Basin. There's actually no trees in Thacker Pass proper, but there's sagebrush. Sagebrush can get to be hundreds of years old. There's old growth sagebrush here. So most of the action happens below about the height of your waist or your ribs. And in that area, especially at this time of year, the springtime, it's very alive. The birds are nesting. There's all kinds of flowering plants. There's snakes and lizards. There's mule deer, pronghorn antelope, coyotes. There's bobcats and cougars hunt through the area, sage grouse, ferruginous hawks, golden eagles, hundreds of more species. And all of them right now are being either killed by the construction if they can't move out of the way, or displaced, which often ends up meaning that they lose their lives as well because there's no room for them elsewhere. There may not be the right habitat for them, or there's already other creatures there. So there's not enough food supply, there's not enough water, there's not enough shelter and habitat and so on. So this broad saddle of Thacker Pass, thousands and thousands of acres of old growth sagebrush and creeks that flow seasonally at this time of year, and wildflowers and little hillocks with all these different edible native plants. All of these places are being bulldozed right now. The mine is going to be absolutely huge. It's nearly 10 miles from one end of the project to the other, and just the open pit itself is more than 2 miles long and more than half a mile wide. That's what they plan to do. The project will involve tons and tons of waste rock, all this toxic material that they're going to dig up, use acid to leach the lithium out of the clay, and then dump it into a big pile, basically a new mountain. And they're cutting edge technology to contain the radioactive substances that have been safely locked underground for millions of years, to contain the acid runoff and all these other hazardous materials that are in this soil, is to basically put a big plastic sheet under it and then just let it sit there. It's not cutting edge technology. And in fact, hydrologists who have spoken out against this project, who have looked in detail at the technical means that the company plans to use to keep pollution out of the water table, out of the soil, out of the surrounding area, says that this method has never been tested before. It's very likely to fail and experience significant issues. But regardless of those issues, mining always comes down to a basic process, which is bulldozing the land, destroying all the life on it, and then digging up an entire mountainside. You know, this isn't digging a hole with your shovel. This is massive. the scale of it is hard to fathom. And you know, for people who are listening to this, we're talking about a project area that's, you know, larger than the entirety of downtown San Francisco. That would take up a large proportion of the entire northern peninsula. You know, we're talking about massive areas here that are going to be destroyed for General Motors electric vehicles, by and large. And, you know, for my part, I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think that's green. It just sounds like more of the same destruction that we've seen with the fossil fuel powered economy that we've been working to combat and to move past, to grow past for so long.
And it's going to use a lot of water, right? 1.7 billion gallons of water per year. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and they've actually revised their water impacts up slightly, or their water use up slightly, to about 5 million gallons a day. So it's a massive amount of water in the driest state in the country.
The Lakota People's Law Project Action Center is calling for people to ask the U.S. Department of the Interior Secretary Deb Haaland to revoke the permits for the Thacker Pass lithium mine, and asking for the House Natural Resources Committee Chair Raul Grijalva to investigate the crimes being committed at Thacker Pass against Native American tribes. Any word from either of those? Any word in solidarity from anyone in politics?
We haven't heard much so far, honestly. It seems like the Biden administration, we assume, is leaning pretty heavily on Deb Haaland, the Secretary of the Interior, who's ultimately in charge of the BLM, which manages the Bureau of Land Management, which manages this land that's at question here. So Deb Haaland has not spoken out. She's not visited the area. She's not spoken to the people who are impacted by this. And the same goes for the senators, unfortunately. We have seen, you know, growing movements to defend places from mining, like Oak Flat down in Arizona. And so there's certainly possibilities there. But people's voices aren't being heard in the situation to this point. And it seems like the Biden administration is committed to destroying the sacred site, this biodiversity hotspot, for political points towards their electric vehicle agenda. I'm very sympathetic with any efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I think global warming is a huge problem. But like I said earlier, we can't make the same mistakes that we made in the past as we move into a better future.
It seems this project was pushed through in the final days of the Trump administration, right? There's conversations about its importance against foreign enemies. And it would seem that Biden would be pushing for this as a matter of national security, quote unquote, you know, depending on ourselves, at least for a little while.
It's a situation that we've seen so many times before. And regardless of the law in this situation, the morality of it is so clear. You have people being forced off the land where their ancestors were killed, where their ancestors' bodies are in the soil. Their ancestors were killed there trying to protect that land from the United States government in the first place. So this is a second generation of colonial trauma being enacted on people. And of course, that's not even to go into, you know, the ecological impacts, which my work has focused on. You know, since I'm not a native person, that's not my particular background, but I am, you know, I'm friends with these people. I've built relationships with them. I've been around these prayers, and they're not, I get emotional even talking about it, honestly, because this, I can imagine how I would feel if I had grown up in a place and knew the history of my ancestors fighting for the land and dying for the land. And then my attempts to go and pray over them to stop the destruction of their graves and the land that they worked to defend were frustrated and were met with police, with armed men, arresting people and threatening to haul me off to jail if I didn't comply. And it's a very, very sad state of affairs and it needs to change.
Who lives anywhere near there? Is it ranchers, cattle ranchers? Seems not like very many people.
No, it's a pretty rural area. There are basically small rural agricultural and ranching communities west and east of Thacker Pass that probably amount to 600 people, maybe, who live within 10, 20 miles of the site. You go up a little bit further northeast of the Thacker Pass mine area, and you get to McDermott and the Fort McDermott Reservation, which is right there. That's a larger population. It's still a very small town. And then about an hour south of Thacker Pass is Winnemucca, Nevada, famous from a Johnny Cash song. Don't know if you've ever heard that one, but that's got a population of, I don't know, something like 7,000, 8,000 people. So it's a decent sized little town. But it's a remote area up there. It's halfway between Boise and Reno, and each of those is about 3.5 hours away. So it's remote.
While the area is remote, it's 1 to 3 hours away from a lot of people. There are connections between U.S. resource extraction and cases of missing or murdered indigenous women, girls, Two-Spirit people. You know, large-scale construction and workers, and then the likelihood of the area having inept, racist law enforcement really pose serious risk to communities.
We heard from locals, farmers and ranchers in the area about 2 weeks ago, that already Lithium Nevada workers were asking around in the local community, saying things like, where are the pretty girls at? That is terrifying for people who live in the area, for anyone who is at risk or has family members and people they care about who are at risk. That's a reality associated with these massive projects that bring in a lot of male workers with a flush of cash. You're gonna deal with drugs, you're going to deal with violence, you're going to deal with abuse, potentially trafficking. It comes with these large-scale extraction projects, and it's a real serious concern for people from the area.
It's really a conversation, it seems like, between the president, the government, BLM, that's that. It's just public land, that's that. Nothing to see here. They're going to work on the project for 41 years, it seems, with about 5 years of reclamation, as though everything will just come back the way it was. No harm.
Yeah, and it's probably going to end up being longer than that. In one of the public meetings that I attended, a representative of the Lithium Nevada Corporation said they plan to apply for extended permits that will likely make this a 100-year mine or more. So this is also just the first lithium mine coming into this area. There's another project just 20 miles away from Thacker Pass in an area that is just as sacred, just as culturally important, and from what I understand, maybe even more ecologically sensitive and important than Thacker Pass is for the sage grouse and many other forms of wildlife. That's a company, an Australian company called Jindalee, which plans to mine on the Oregon side of the border at a place called McDermott Creek. And so we're seeing this not just at Thacker Pass, but elsewhere in the region, elsewhere in Nevada, elsewhere all around the world. This rush for new resources, new minerals, new mining to feed a green economy. My argument from the very beginning of getting involved in this fight has been that as long as we are moving forward in a culture that prioritizes growth, wealth, profit, technological progress above everything else, it doesn't matter what energy sources we're using. It doesn't really matter what's under the hood of our cars, because that's not the fundamental problem. The problem is those deeper issues. And that's why I say this is a case of greenwashing. It's a case of people being led astray to support electric cars as if they're going to be some massive solution to these issues we're facing. They're not. They're window dressing on the deeper problems of consumerism and a growth-based economy on a finite world. That can't go on. And in fact, we need to not only stop the growth, we need degrowth. We need to reverse a lot of the economic growth that we've had. And that can be done in ways that preserves human rights, that preserves well-being, health, and happiness for people. But it will require a political movement. It will require people to get organized, get together, and start exercising our power to change these systems at a broader level. And that's what I'm really hopeful that the movement at Thacker Pass, at Pahimaha, will contribute to, is these broader changes across our whole society, because this is just the beginning.
These things can't really be done necessarily in secret because they're so massive, but they really are. They do start in secret. We can't stop putting the lens on it in any ways that we can. Can you tell us how people can stay connected and follow what the protectors are doing or plan to do next, and how everything goes in the legal realm?
I'm part of Protect Thacker Pass. Protectthackerpass.org is our website. We're also on social media. I'm on social media myself. My name, Max Wilbert. I also would recommend that people follow Oxfam Camp for more news of what's going on. I'll be real with you all. This lawsuit from Lithium Nevada threatens to bring criminal charges against me and the other people if other protesters go to Thacker Pass. So they're not only trying to punish us for the protest activities, the water protection that we've been involved in, they're trying to basically levy a form of collective punishment on us, threaten to hold us liable for the actions of other people, and pull in others as well to the lawsuit as they name them. So I just want to be full disclosure to people. It's a risky situation for myself and as well as for other people. But, you know, that may just mean this fight is moving in a different direction than it has looked the last couple weeks with direct action on the ground.
It seems that the Lithium America lawsuits against protesters are trying to do a lot to prevent Thacker Pass from being the next Standing Rock.
There are a lot of things that people can do to push back. And I would recommend people check out Oxfam Camp, check out Protect Thacker Pass, and follow your heart. We need land defenders, not just in this situation, but also all over the world. There are so many threats, and we need people to just follow their conscience and do what's right for the future. It's been really intense. It's personally incredibly challenging, you know, and what the people are going through, my friends on the ground who are from there, who are seeing this sacred place destroyed, it's unbelievable.
We'll keep an eye, keep our fingers on the pulse, and be reporting what needs to be reported from you or anybody else out there. We've been speaking to Max Wilbert, community organizer and writer. He is one of the authors of the book Bright Green Lies: How the Environmental Movement Lost Its Way and What We Can Do About It. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sarah. I appreciate it.
For Flashpoints, I'm Sarah Blanco, and thank you to producer Frank Sterling, who has long been reporting on the Thacker Pass lithium mine and on Oxfam Camp. Thank you.
That wraps it up for another episode of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kbu.fm.
Could I get two of those zucchini, please?
Sure. Anything else for you today?
What is that over in the basket?
Oh, that's the organic homegrown Voices for the Animals with Michelle Coppola.
Wow, animals. I'll take one.
It's great. Every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m.
How do I get more?
You can support programs like this with donations by going to kbu.fm/give or texting KBOO to 44321. It's the Fresh Off the Vine Fall Fun Drive, so it's a great time to give.
Sounds nutritious. Voices for the Animals. I can't wait to try it.
You're gonna love it.